Chapter 2. A very little boy stood upon a heap of gravel for the honor of Rum Alley. He was throwing stones at howling urchins from Devil's Row who were circling madly about the heap and pelting at him. His infantile countenance was livid with fury. His small body was writhing in the delivery of great, crimson oaths. "Run, Jimmy, run! Dale get yes!" screamed a retreating Rum Alley child. "Naw," responded Jimmy with a valiant roar, "these micks can't make me run." Howls of renewed wrath went up from Devil's Row throats. Tattered gamins on the right made a furious assault on the gravel heap. On their small, convulsed faces there shone the grins of true assassins. As they charged, they threw stones and cursed in shrill chorus. The little champion of Rum Alley stumbled precipitately down the other side. His coat had been torn to shreds in a scuffle, and his hat was gone. He had bruises on 20 parts of his body, and blood was dripping from a cut in his head. His wan features wore a look of a tiny insane demon. On the ground, children from Devil's Row closed in on their antagonist. He crooked his left arm defensively about his head and fought with cursing fury. The little boys ran to and fro, dodging, hurling stones and swearing in barbaric trebles. From a window of an apartment house that upreared its form from amid squat, ignorant stables, there leaned a curious woman. Some laborers, unloading a scow at a dock at the river, paused for a moment and regarded the fight. The engineer of a passive tugboat hung lazily to a railing and watched. Over on the island, a worm building, and crawled slowly along the river's bank. A stone had smashed into Jimmy's mouth. Blood was bubbling over his chin, and down upon his ragged shirt. Tears made furrows on his dirt-stained cheeks. His thin legs had begun to tremble and turn weak, causing his small body to reel. His roaring curses of the first part of the fight had changed to a blasphemous chatter. In the yells of the whirling mob of Devil's Row children there were notes of joy like songs of triumphant savagery. The little boy seemed to leer gloatingly at the blood upon the other child's face. Down the avenue came boastfully sauntering a lad of 16 years, although the chronic sneer of an ideal manhood already sat upon his lips. His hat was tipped with an air of challenge over his eye. Between his teeth, a cigar stump was tilted at the angle of defiance. He walked with a certain swing of the shoulders which appalled the timid. He glanced over into the vacant lot in which the little raving boys from Devil's Row seethed about the shrieking and tearful child from Rum Alley. "Gee," he murmured with interest. "Scrap. Gee." He strode over to the cursing circle, swinging his shoulders in a manner which denoted that he held victory in his fists. He approached at the back of one of the most deeply engaged of the Devil's Row children. "Ah, what the hell," he said, and smote the deeply engaged one on the back of the head. The little boy fell to the ground, and gave a hoarse, tremendous howl. He scrambled to his feet, and perceiving, evidently, the size of his assailant, ran quickly off, shouting alarms. The entire Devil's Row party followed him. They came to a stand a short distance away, and yelled taunting oaths at the boy with the chronic sneer. The latter, momentarily, paid no attention to them. "What the hell, Jimmy?" he asked of the small champion. Jimmy wiped his blood-wet features with his sleeve. "Well, it was this way, Pete, see. I was goin' to lick that Riley kid, and they all pitched on me." Some Rum Alley children now came forward. The party stood for a moment exchanging vainglorious remarks with Devil's Row. A few stones were thrown at long distances, and words of challenge passed between small warriors. Then the Rum Alley contingent turned slowly in the direction of their home street. They began to give, each to each, distorted versions of the fight. Causes of retreat in particular cases were magnified. Blows dealt in the fight were enlarged to catapultian power, and stones thrown were alleged to have hurtled with infinite accuracy. Valor grew strong again, and the little boys began to swear with great spirit. "Ah, we blokies can lick the hell damn row," said a child, swaggering. Little Jimmy was striving to stanch the flow of blood from his cut lips. Scowling, he turned upon the speaker. Ah, where the hell was ye when I was doing all the fighting? He demanded. House kids makes me tired. Ah, go on, replied the other argumentatively. Jimmy replied with heavy contempt. H, yous can't fight, Blue Billy. I can lick ya with one hand. Ah, go on, replied Billy again. Ah, said Jimmy threateningly. Ah, said the other in the same tone. They struck at each other, clinched, and rolled over on the cobblestones. Smash him, Jimmy, kick the damn guts out of him, yelled Pete, the lad with the chronic sneer, in tones of delight. The small combatants pounded and kicked, scratched and tore. They began to weep, and their curses struggled in their throats with sobs. The other little boys clasped their hands, and wriggled their legs in excitement. They formed a bobbing circle about the pair. A tiny spectator was suddenly agitated. Cheese it, Jimmy, cheese it. Here comes yer fader, he yelled. The circle of little boys instantly parted. They drew away, and waited in ecstatic awe for that which was about to happen. The two little boys fighting in the modes of 4,000 years ago, did not hear the warning. Up the avenue there plodded slowly a man with sullen eyes. He was carrying a dinner pail, and smoking an applewood pipe. As he neared the spot where the little boys strove, he regarded them listlessly. But suddenly he roared an oath, and advanced upon the rolling fighters. Here, you Jim, get up now, while I belt your life out, you damn disorderly brat. He began to kick into the chaotic mass on the ground. The boy Billy felt a heavy boot strike his head. He made a furious effort, and disentangled himself from Jimmy. He tottered away, damning. Jimmy arose painfully from the ground and, confronting his father, began to curse him. His parent kicked him. Home, home, now, he cried, and stop yer jawing, or I'll lam the everlasting head off yez. They departed. The man paced placidly along with the applewood emblem of serenity between his teeth. The boy followed a dozen feet in the rear. He swore luridly, for he felt that it was degradation for one who aimed to be some vague soldier, or a man of blood with a sort of sublime license, to be taken home by a father. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.